And there's a lot of different variations to making homemade bread.
One of the biggest things is understanding the basic science of homemade bread.
Okay.
So if you're making white regular gluten bread, and we'll talk about gluten, non-gluten, gluten-free, whatever, we'll talk about that later. But regular homemade bread, you want to use bread flour versus all-purpose flour. Not saying that if you use all-purpose flour, your bread's not going to turn out. It might be a little bit more dense and not rise as much as what you want, but bread flour has a higher amount of protein, and that protein allows for the bread to bind a little bit better. It allows to have it so that it holds up to the kneading and the rising process, and it also provides that spring back action that bread has.
It makes the bread the way you remember bread being made.
Yes. So that's important. So that's one part, is if you are going to make bread, we highly recommend using bread flour versus all-purpose, because it's important. But if you're just like, hey, I'm just hanging around a Sunday afternoon, I don't want to go to the store and make some bread, you can use all-purpose flour. That's perfectly fine.
Now, we won't get into it, but there's bean flour and there's pumpkin flour, and there's all the other types of flour that you can use for multiple things. But when it comes to bread, we're just going with bread flour.
Right.
Okay.
So, yes. And then you want to use yeast and water as well. So basically homemade bread consists of flour, yeast, water, sometimes sugar, sometimes olive oil, sometimes...
And whatever accessories you want to throw
honey,
in.
Honey, yeah.
Like if you're going to make raisin bread or something like that.
That's a little bit different, but yeah.
And zucchini bread, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So.
And the yeast, make sure it's not expired, because yeast does have an expiration. It's a live thing.
Yeast is a live thing. So you want to keep that in mind as well.
And it doesn't work very good when it's expired.
No, that's very true.
It's a sad
and you,
experience.
And you want to let your yeast bloom, or whatever you want to call it, while it, you know, you add the warm water and the sugar.
110 degrees or at 110 degrees for, 5 minutes? And then you can watch it start activating.
Yeah, it activates. Yeah. And there's, quick yeast. There's regular yeast. So there are some options there as well. Just follow whatever recipe you have. So then, if you're not using yeast, you can do something like sourdough. Or also, I made ciabatta bread, and I created a what's called a mother starter, and so that was a 24-hour process of getting the yeast to kind of eat the flour and the sugar and activate. So it was a little bit different.
Well, the sourdough takes a long time too, because you can just take regular flour and water and mix it together, and it takes time for
Are two different things,
right?
Okay, so sourdough is different than the ciabatta. Yeah, so either way, they both consisted of what's called a mother, or a starter, which is when you, instead of using the yeast, you use a fermented flour and water mixture. And so that creates the rise for you,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the yeast. So that's the sourdough. A lot of people like sourdough because it does have the beneficial,
your body's
lactate.
Able to break it down better,
yeah.
than the traditional bread,
right? And I think it's higher in protein, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look that one up. So that's the process. That's the basic science behind homemade bread.
And you can do challah breads as well.
Yeah, there's challah bread.
Yeah,
I don't know much about challah bread.
Well, it has a yeast, but it's more of a, I think it's a Jewish bread.
It is Jewish, yes. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know the specific history or significance, but I've had it and it's very good.
Right, yeah.
But also, if you do homemade bread right, no matter what you make, it's good.
Oh, it's really good.
Whenever you don't do it right and it becomes a brick that you put behind the hay wagon to keep it from rolling down a hill, that's when things are bad.
Yeah. That's when a lot of times you want to make sure that you are using the bread flour.
And it's a science, too. You're not just going to splash this, splash. If you want bread to come out right, you've got to follow the directions.
Exactly. It is trusting the process. It's following the process. It's taking the time. And there are books and recipes about how you can have homemade bread in 5, 15, 20 minutes a day. But there is still a setup process for that, where you make the the dough on one day, and then you take off pieces of the dough to cook it. It's not something where, oh, I'm going to start this process now and it takes 5 minutes. That's not true.
Well, then you can also cook it in a Dutch oven.
Yeah, you can cook in a Dutch oven, a bread pan. Some people just will often shape the bread right. And then cook it on like a pizza stone type thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hit the word here, gluten-free, because gluten is a molecule? It's something. It's in the wheat.
It's a protein.
It's a protein mm-hmm. in the wheat now that we may or may not have had 30 years ago, but they're altering the grains so rapidly now that the tech companies, in order to get more of a higher yield and all this. But gluten, the body cannot break down gluten properly. Is that what the deal is? And some people have the issue where it rejects the gluten altogether. It can't process it at all.
Yeah. So gluten is a protein that occurs in regular wheat and probably other things too, but I know mostly in wheat. And people who have celiac disease do have a high allergy to it, where they can get extremely sick.
That's why they have to go gluten-free hamburger buns and gluten-free all this stuff. I mean, it's extremely expensive. Those who unfortunately have to go that route. Right. It's a very costly dietary restriction.
And there are people who feel that if they cut gluten out, even if they don't have celiac, they feel like they feel better. I'm not one of those people. My body is like, whatever, I don't care. But yeah,
we're not doctors. So
we're not doctors.
Talk to your doctor if you feel that there's an issue.
But I mean,
we have to put the disclaimer out there.
Not being a doctor, I did at one point, because I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. I was advised by somebody who also has it to remove gluten from my body for 2 weeks and see what happens. And I didn't notice a difference. And I actually think I was like crabbier and hungrier. So
the lady hawk.
I need gluten.
Well, and it's because my body like loves processed foods. Uh-huh. And we try to eat a more whole foods based diet. Even any processed foods I eat, my body's like, that's cool, we're good. And so I don't think gluten affects me personally. There's other things that affect my digestive system, but gluten is not one of them. But I have heard, I mean, like one of my friend's parents, dad, he doesn't eat gluten because he cut it out and then he realized like he felt better, he felt less bloated, etc. Never found out if he had celiac or not, but sometimes people just have different reactions, and that's why modern medicine is kind of different, because we have all these things in our food, and sometimes it's like,
figure out the source and not the medicine to fix the problem.
Right.
But you, I mean, obviously homemade bread, without doing the scientific breakdown between store-bought and homemade bread, to me, is way, way better, healthier. Because you've got like 6 ingredients. If you look on what's in this bread when you buy at the store, you have to say it's a novel in some instances. There's things that you don't know what they are, and you don't want to look up what they are because it's scary what they put in.
You sit it on your counter and it lasts for like 6 weeks.
Well, yeah. Well, we what was it? We bought a pre-made pizza from a big box store. And there was, 52 or 63 different ingredients in this pizza? Now, whenever anybody who's made homemade pizza at home, you got like 7 ingredients. That's it. You'd flour, water, dough, yeast, toppings. That's it. You don't have this gluten, this carbon, this dye. It's a whole mess. Quick breads.
So gluten, there's many alternatives to gluten flour. You can find even like a gluten-free flour mix for baking and things like that. There's a lot of different options now, probably, than there was even just like 3 years ago. Quick breads are things like zucchini bread, pumpkin bread, banana bread, apple bread. They're like a more of a dessert, like a cake
more
in a way.
More sweet.
Okay. And there's usually
still
no...
Still good.
Still good, still delicious, fresh. And there's usually not any sort of yeast involved. But they call them quick breads because a lot of times people will eat them for like breakfast or bring them to brunch parties or
whatever. Well, I think
whatever.
Pumpkin bread is good no matter what time of day or night you eat it.
I agree.
Okay.
I like pumpkin bread.
2 a.m. Pumpkin bread. What's the difference?
You eat 2 a.m. snacks all the time when I'm passed out. Yeah. So, yeah. Guys.
More pumpkin bread, please.
So anyway.
Always have a good snack in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Whatever.
At some point, you're going to be up and you're going to be hungry.
I don't get up in the middle of the night, so I don't know. but
quick bread's an alternative to the gluten aspect. If
you can make gluten-free quick breads,
okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's something different. It's not It's not like a sandwich. You're not gonna make quick bread. You're not gonna make a quick bread sandwich,
right? A salami sandwich with quick bread. It's so savory. It's got the sweet and the saltiness. It's great. Right. I'm sure it's been done on the Food Network.
I'm sure it has.
This is the new age. We're going to do pumpkin salami bread or something.
People might like that. Zucchini bread would probably be okay with some.
The problem with it is it's so flaky.
It's crumbly.
It's crumbly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just falls apart in your hand and you got to eat it over a bucket. So,
are you eating stuff over buckets now?
I don't know. Some of that zucchini bread and pumpkin bread, you look at it and it crumbles. Flaky, yeah. But it's good, though.
It is good.
Well, summer is over, Holly, and the kids are back in school. The nights are cold and getting colder, and you have forgotten about your lawn, but there's something you have to do so you can enjoy your lawn next year.
Just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards and those Japanese beetles either. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only do they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so that they can start again next year. Take a stand with Phylum's Grub Gone. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT granule that specifically targets scare pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granule with spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
The best part about it is that it's non-chemical choice. It's the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls grubs. Grub Gone, that is. And the best part about it, it's non-toxic to bees and other pollinators, so you don't have to worry about toxifying their hives. It's at grubgone.com or phylumbioproducts.com. Zero restrictions for around flowering plants. Again, phylumbioproducts.com or grubgone.com. The natural choice.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.